Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dalet. And yesterday's share we had a very interesting historical discussion as to what was the status of the Melech Daryavish, who he actually was. According to the opinion we brought down yesterday in the Gemara, he was also Koresh. Now, there were several Daryavishes and there were several Koreshes, so we're not going to get into that right now. But the Daryavish that we were referring to from the Psukim yesterday was known also as Artachshasta. And in addition, we had said that this Daryavish was originally good, and then he was Hichmitz, then he turned bad, and that explained why originally his reign was counted when the changeover from one year to the next through Nisan, which is for the Jewish kings as well as for the righteous Gentile kings. And then, subsequently, it was changed that it was counted over from Tishrei because he was Hichmitz. He became a not-so-good king. He became like vinegar, wine to vinegar. So he was Hichmitz, and therefore, the changing of his rule changed from Nisan to Tishrei when we count his years of rule. So yesterday we gave the first explanation for when he was Hichmitz. And now we continue today giving another explanation as to when he was Hichmitz. And we begin with the words V'Yibayis Ema, 11 lines down from the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara begins, V'Yibayis Ema, another reason as to when Minolon the Hichmitz, that Daryavish became sour, that he became a bad king. They'll see, because we base it upon the following psukim from Ezra. Now, it says over there as follows. They'll see, Nidbachin di Evan Gilol Tlosa. There were three Nidbachin. Nidbachin are like rows, and Evan Gilol is shayish, is marble. So there were three walls of marble that he created. And then, after that, there was a di Chadis. There was one wall that was made of wood. The Nifkisom in Beis Malka Tisyov. And Daryavish gave these instructions that they should build this, all paid for by his royal treasury. Now, from the house of the king, from the Beis Malka. Now, Lomalei the Avet Hachi, why did he specifically construct it in this way? Three walls of shayish, of marble, followed by a wall of wood. So the Gemara tells us, Sovar, he said, if the Jewish people go and rebel against me, be very easy to burn down this structure. Ikalaye benura. It will be very flammable because there's wood in the wall. Marble walls are much more difficult to burn down. Wood wall will burn very easily. So Otu Shlomo Lovat Hakhi says, wait a second, Shlomo Melech did the same thing. As the Psukim tell us, Waksiv, Shloshes Ture Gazis, Vitur Kurusos Arosim. When Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, he made three rows first of stones, Ture Gazis, and then there was one wall, Vitur, that was made of cedar wood, arozim. That is possible from Malachim Aleph, seems to suggest that Shlomo Melech did exactly what we're now saying that Daryavish did. Shlomo Melech obviously did good. Why did Daryavish do bad? Why was he Hichmitz for doing the same thing? So the Gemara gives three differences between what Shlomo Melech did and what Daryavish did. Number one, Shlomo Avad Milamala. Shlomo put the wood at the top, so it's not going to burn down the entire structure. But Daryavish put it at the bottom. So when the bottom burns and crumbles, everything will fall down and collapse on top of it. Difference number one. Difference number two. Shlomo shake bivinyana. Shlomo built it deep into the structure, so it was protected by the surrounding stone. Ihu, Daryavish, however, lo shake bivinyana. He didn't put it deep into the structure, so it was easily going to be flammable and therefore collapse the entire wall and the entire building. And number three, Shlomo Saje Besida. Shlomo also put up some plaster around the wood so to make it much, much less flammable. And Ihu Daryavish Lo Saje Besida. He didn't go and plaster it with lime. And therefore, in his situation, Daryavish was doing something evil or bad or showing that he's not a great king, whereas, of course, Shlomo Melech was. So therefore, this is the second reason that we bring down that we see that Daryavish was Hichmitz. Gemara is going to give us a third and a fourth reason. Gemara says, now, whenever we have Omar, and then the name of the Amora, it usually means that he's in contrast to the previous Shita, he's arguing with the previous Shita. That's why here the word Omar is in parentheses, and the Masar Sashah says that the word Omar should be at the end of this statement, because it's just a different Shita. It's not necessarily arguing with the previous Shita. There could be multiple sources that we have for how Daryavish was Hichmitz. So, instead of saying Omar Rav Yosef, it should be Rav Yosef, or alternatively, Yitema Rav Yitzchak, Omar. They said, an additional reason, not necessarily arguing with the previous reason. And they said, Minolon the Yichmitz. How do we know that Daryavish became a bad king? Because of the following pasuk. We had this pasuk yesterday, actually, we read it in Nehemia, and Vehocha, Vayom Eli HaMelech, Vashego Yosheves Etzlo. The king said back to Nehemia, And next to the king was his shegel. We said yesterday, this normal translation of shegel means the queen, the one who the king is living with. We brought down the source of the word from the tochicha. And the Gemara asks, my shegel, what exactly does this word shegel mean? So we had translated it as a queen, but Amar Rabba Bar Lima, Lima was the name of his father, an unusual name, Amar Rabba Bar Lima, Mishmei the Rab, the name of Rab, Kalbasa. This wasn't the queen sitting next to him, it was a dog. Now, Rashi points out that this dog was a female dog, and it was Lemishka, and he was committing, Rahman al-Islam, bestiality with his dog. And Bnei Noach, who's Haru al-Kach, and even the Bnei Noach have a prohibition against bestiality, as we learned in last week's parasha of Ayula Basar Echad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam and Chava that you should be like one, which excludes Yatsu Behema of the Chai of Alt, that you're not allowed to have relations, even a Ben Noach, not allowed to commit bestiality, Rahman al-Islam, with any sort of an animal, Shein Nas and Basar Echad, because you can't become one boss with them, meaning Shein Yoldin Min Hadam, that they can't have progeny. The species, if they, quote, mate, will not be able to have children. So therefore, this prohibition is even on Ben Noach, and therefore it should have applied to Daryavish, and yet he acted in this horrible fashion, and therefore that shows you that he was Hichmetz. More questions this and says, Rilo, Elamiyato, how are you going to explain the following pasuk, which seems to say that a shagel is a very appropriate queen, and not a kalbasa. The pasuk says, this pasuk is from Daniel. Now, Daniel is written in Aramaic, as so many of the psukim we just had also from Ezra, and the Nechemiah, they're written in Aramaic. He says, V'al more shmaya hisromamta. That means that you rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulemonaya di beise haisiv kodomoch. And you went and brought the holy vessels from the Beis HaMikdash in front of you. Now, this is, of course, Daniel talking to Belshazzar. This is right before we have the famous handwriting on the wall episode, and ultimately ends that night in the death of Belshazzar. So Daniel is giving him some very strong musar over here. He says, you're rebelling against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You took the vessels from the Beis HaMikdash, and who drank from them? The aunt, you, the Rav Ravonoch, and all of your fancy hierarchy of your royalty and nobility. And in addition, Sheg Losech, your wife, the queen, Ulchein Losech, and your other concubines, Chamra Shosin Bahon, you drank wine from these vessels. Now, if you're telling me that Shegolosoch means your dog, the Shegol Kalbasahi, so then Kalbasa Bas Mishtaya Chamrahi, do dogs drink wine? Do they take a cup and they drink wine? So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Holo Kasha, the Malfa Lo Vishasya. Guess what? If you give a dog its water in a fancy Beis HaMikdash bowl, it will learn to drink from that bowl. If you give it to it in a cup, it will learn to drink from that cup. So therefore, that's not a raya that shegel doesn't mean kalbasa. Rav says, okay, what about this pasuk? Elamayato dirsiv. It says in this pasuk from Tehillim, this pasuk says, binos melochim bikrosecha. Rashi explains that bikrosecha means over here, mekaros osoch liosid lovo. They will honor you in the future. This is a prophecy describing what will happen to Klai Yisrael in the future. And the pasuk continues, and it says, Nitzva Shegel Liminocha, that a Shegel will stand to your right, Bekesim Ophir, wearing this jewelry from Ophir. So, the Shegel Kalbasi, if you're telling me again that the word Shegel means a dog, a female dog, so, Maikom Avasalu Novi Yisrael, exactly what is the Novi? Now, we're talking about Tillim, so I'll explain this in a second. It's very unusual to describe Tillim as Navi, because it's Ksuvim. But let's just finish the idea first, and then we'll get to that. So, Maika Mavasilu Navi Li Yisrael. So, what exactly is the Navi saying over here in this capital of Tillim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future is going to treat Klai Yisrael by having us as a dog standing next to him? So, Gemara explains, no, this is a praise for Klai Yisrael. This is a good future prophecy. Hachikom, this is what the Pasuk in Tillim is telling us. B'schar shechaviva Torah Yisrael. Just in the way that Klai Yisrael loves to learn Torah, it's so dear to us. The similar comparison, it's as dear to us as Kishega Leov de Kochavim, as this Kalbasa was to the idol worshippers. So then, Zuchisim Kesem Ofer. That will give us this Kesem Ofer. That will give us these crowns, these jewelry from Ophir. In other words, this is a great praise for Klai Yisrael, and we use a comparison to show how dear the dog was to the of the Avodah Zarah, so that's how dear the Torah is to us. An interesting and unusual comparison. But I'd like to focus here on what the Maritz Chayis brings down. He says, what is this Lashon over here of Navi? So first of all, there are girsos here that don't have the word Navi, because Ksuvim is not Navi. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that there are 48 Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael, and it doesn't mention the authors of this capital, which are the B'nai Korach, as being Nevi'im. So the Maariv Chayis brings down that maybe, in fact, there are two that Rashi says of the 48 that we don't know who they are. Rashi says he lists the 48, and there are two that we don't know. So maybe he wants to suggest that these two are Nevi'im, that this Tehillim was written by various authors. It wasn't only written by David HaMelech. So maybe they were, in fact, written over here by Nevi'im. That's one possible solution to the Lashon, if you keep it, of Navi. The Sifsei Chachamim adds, by the way, they were the ones that said before, it wasn't the Maariv Chayis, Maariv Chayis just said what I said. The Sifsei Chachamim were the ones that said before that maybe these B'nai Korach were the two of the 48 Nevi'im that we didn't have their identity identified. In any event, the Sifsei Chachamim also suggests over here that no, maybe the Lashon of Nevuah can still be used, even if you're not one of those 48 Nevi'im, because it did use the Lashon by them that they were Nisnavu, the B'nai Korach, who are the capital over here, it does use the Lashon that was Nisnavu. In any event, there is a gears here that says we should delete the word Navi. So this is the third way that we see that Daryovish was Hichmetz, because he had this Shegel next to him, which wasn't the Malkus, it was Rechman al-San that he was committing bestiality, so obviously he was Hichmetz. Alternatively, we can explain in the following way, that Daryovish was Ichmet, b'yibayis ema, l'olam shegel ma'achosahi. No, in fact, the shegel was the queen. You don't have to go to this teretz that we just brought down in the name of Rabba Barlima, Mishmei the Rab. But in fact, there's a different teretz that he gave. Rabba Barlima, Gemara Gemira Law. He didn't learn it out from this psukim, but he had a Masorah. He had a Gemara. He had a Masorah that Daryavish's wife over here that we're referring to, the Shego, was a Kalbasa. But am I correlate Shego? So why did we refer to her as a Shego? If Shegel is a queen, so then why did, if he had a dog there, they had the tradition that it was a female dog, so why did he refer to it in the Pasuk as a Shegel? So the Gemara says, Shoyser Chaviva Olav Kishegel, that he treated his dog with the same affection and love that you would normally treat a queen. So that's one possible answer. Or Inami, Shoshiva B'mokum Shegel, or that he put her in the place where the Shegel was. He wasn't embarrassed about this act of bestiality he was doing, and he was Mepharsim it, and he put the dog right up there where one would normally sit the queen. Right next to him, he put this female dog. Fine, that's the third explanation for how Daryovish was Hichmetz. And finally, we have the fourth explanation. How do we know that Daryovish was souring, that he turned bad? From the following Pasuk, another Pasuk from Ezra, where it says, Ad kisaf kakrin meya. He says, bring a certain amount of gold. Again, he's supporting and financing the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, you can bring to them 100 kikrim of silver. It's a lot of silver. And the ad chintrin korin ma. And 100 kor, again, a certain measure of wheat. And the ad chamar batin. And for wine, you can bring batin. A bat is a measure. We had this by the huge basin that Shlomo Melech had constructed, so a bas is 3 saw. So you can bring 100 of these measures of bas of wine, and he says, v'ad batin mishach me'ah, and you can bring 100 basin over here of oil, and umelach di la kisav. Melach, you bring as much as is needed, v'gomer. It doesn't tell us how much salt that they actually proffered. So how does it show that he was hechnitz? So the Gemara says, me'kara b'lo kitzusa, originally, when Daryovish said, I'll support the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't limit it. Bahashta, here you see, b'kitzusa, he's limiting it. So therefore, instead of giving a blank check, he now says, no, this is how much I'm giving and not one penny more. So therefore, that demonstrates that he was hichmetz, he soured somewhat. He became bad somewhat. Where he says, that's not really an appropriate answer, because v'dilma me'ikar lo have a kimlehu b'kitzusa. In the beginning, he didn't know how much he would actually need. So he said, I will pay for the construction. Now they figured out the construction. He says, here's the check. This is what I'm paying for. Lav davka, that would demonstrate that he was hichmetz. And where he says, you're right, this fourth teretz isn't necessarily correct. El machvarta, kiddushanin me'ikar. Any of the first three terutzim, those are more appropriate answers as to how we know that Daryovish was hichmetz. That concludes this very interesting discussion, and we move on to the next one of the statements that we said that Nisan was the Rosh Hashanah in regards, we said, to Malachim, which we've went through until now in the Masechta, and now we go to the second thing that we said Nisan was the Rosh Hashanah for, and that was for the regalim. And I pointed out this will be a discussion about Baal Te'acher. The person has an obligation to go and bring certain things when he said he would bring them, and if he doesn't bring them at that time, at some point he's over not fulfilling his vow. And that's what we'll discuss now. We had actually discussed this recently in the Gemara in Beitza, and I said we'd get to it in Rosh Hashanah. And here's where we have that discussion about the five shittos as to what constitutes being over Baal Te'acher. The Pasuk tells us, Kisidor Neder Lashem Lokecha, Lo Se'acher L'Shamo. You can't delay in going and bringing it, and this lav is known as Baal Te'acher. So let's now begin this discussion in the Gemara. Gemara says, Regolim V'echa B'Nisan Hu, V'chamisha B'Nisan Hu. So you're telling me that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan, is the new year for the regalim. There is no regal on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Yes, it's Rosh Chodesh, but that's not called the regal. So the regal is Pesach. Pesach starts, of course, on the afternoon of Yudalid. We bring the Korban Pesach, and the Yontif starts at night on Tesvav. The Chamish Asar b'Nisan Hu. So how can you tell me that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the regalim? So Amar Rav Chisda explains that very easily. He says, Regel Shabo Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim. When it says over here that the Regel is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it doesn't mean that. It means that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the month for the Regolim, which are in the month of Nisan. Now what do you mean it's the beginning, the Rosh Hashanah, for the Regolim? The Regolim are three separate entities. So the Gemara has to explain and says as follows. The Nafkamina is Lenoder, and this enters into the discussion of the five Shitas of Baal Te'acher. And the person makes a neder, as we pour it down, Kisidor neder l'Hashem lokecha. The person says, I promise to do something. He makes a vow that he's going to bring a carbon, let's say. So then, l'mei kamalei b'val ta'acher. So the nafkamina is, if he doesn't fulfill what he said he would do without doing hataris nedarim, so then he's over b'al ta'acher, delaying and bringing what he said he would do. As soon as you say you're going to do something, you can't expect the person to do it instantaneously, but you should do it as soon as possible. Zrizim makdim l'mitzvah. But at some point, you no longer, never mind not called the zaris, but at some point you're called, you didn't fulfill your vow. So we have five shittos. The first one of which is the Rabbi Shimon, which is always Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rashi tells us that Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Sometimes we're going to refer to him in the Gemara here as Rabbi Shimon, and sometimes we're going to refer to him as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So in any event, this shita of the regel in our Mishnah, saying that Rosh Hashanah for the regalim is Nisan, only goes accord with the shita of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon he. And what is that? From the following brisa, which we're going to have the five shitas that I alluded to, so the one that fits in with our Mishnah, the Rosh Hashanah for the regalim is Nisan, is Rabbi Shimon he. The Tanya. Echad no der, whether a person makes a vow. The Echad HaMaktish, or a person is Maktish, he donates something to the Hekdish, or the Echad HaMarech. Marech is when you say Erek Yolai or Erek Kholai. A person has a set value according to the Torah based upon gender and age. And there's a certain amount that a person says Erek Yolai. There's a different type of evaluation that a person can give, which is he says Domi Yolai, that the value on the marketplace, how much you would be worth if you were to be sold as a slave. So that's what he's donating. So in any event, when a person makes these various types of promises to the Beis HaMikdash, so Kivin She'avru Olav Shalosh Regolim, as soon as three Regolim pass and he hasn't fulfilled his vow, that's when over b'val ti'acher. That's what the Tanakhama in this brisa says is the din of b'val ti'acher. Three regalim, without necessarily specifying any specific order. So if three regalim pass, that's when you're over b'val ti'acher. So whether it's in the order of Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, or Shavuos, Sukkos, Pesach, or Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't make any difference. It's when three regalim pass and you haven't paid up your vow, that's when you're over b'val ti'acher. Shita number one. Shita number two, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Shalosh regalim kisidron. This is our Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says that it is three regalim, but they have to be in the correct order. Kisidron, the Chag HaMatzos Tchila, and it starts with Chag HaMatzos. So only if you have Chag HaMatzos, followed by Chag HaShavuos, followed by Chag HaSukkos, that you didn't pay the vow, so then that's when you're over Baal Te'acher. But as we'll see in the Gemara, V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, this Rabbi Shimon Shita is further expanded upon and says, regalim to be defining these three regalim, sometimes pamim shlosha, pamim arba, and pamim chamisha. Sometimes it can be three, sometimes it can be four, and sometimes it can be five regalim that you pass, as I just alluded to. Ketzad, how could this be? If you made your neder nodel if neha pesach, if you made your neder on the third day of the month of Nisan, I'm going to go bring a carbon, I'm going to be makdish this to the Beis HaMikdash, Erech Yolai, Dom Yolai, whatever he says. So if he made it right before Pesach or any time before Pesach, so Pesach is the regal number one, then Shavuos will be regal number two, Sukkos will be regal number three in the right order. So therefore, he would only have to be over three of the regalim, because it starts off in the right order, to be over Bal Tiachar, Shlosha. However, if he made the neder right after Pesach, Lefnei Atzeres, so then it would take him five regalim, Chamisha, in order to be over Bal Tiachar, because when he passes through Shavuos, it didn't have the Pesach first, so therefore that doesn't count. When he then next goes through Sukkos, he didn't have it in the right order, so the Sukkos doesn't count. And then, when he goes through the Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, the next calendar, so then, that's when he'd be over Bal Tiachar. So that way, it could actually be five regalim that pass before he's over Bal Tiachar. And of course, if he makes an edel lefnei Chag, Chag is always called Sukkos, Atzeres is always called Shavuos, Chag is always called Sukkos, so then if he makes an edel before Sukkos, so then Sukkos won't count in the Bal Tiachar schedule, and then that first Sukkos goes by, and then when the Pesach Shavuos Sukkos goes by the next time, four regalim all together, he's over Bal Tiachar. Now, those are the first two shittas that we have. We're going to give three additional shittas now. Tanur Rabban, we have the following braisa. Chayovei Adomin. If somebody owes money to Beis Din, he said, Domi Yolai, the value of this person or myself, whatever, I'm donating to Hector. So you'd see how much that person is worth. He's worth $1,000. Boom, he owes us $1,000 to the Beis HaMikdash. Or he says, Erech Yolai, V'arachin. He says, my value, your value, based upon the Torah's evaluation, based upon gender and age. So then he's obligated to bring that. Again, these are all going to be examples of what you could possibly over Bal Tiachar on. Or if a person makes a Cherim, HaCharomim, Charamim are either donations that are given to the Beis HaMikdash itself, almost like Hekdish, or the donations that are given to the Beis HaMikdash for the Kohanim. The Hekdashos, or outright Hekdish, that you're making something Hekdish that now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you have to bring it. So in both of these situations, if you didn't bring it, when are you going to be over Bal Tiachar? Or if a person is obligated to bring a Chatos, or an Ashram, Vashamos, or Olos, Ushlamim, is obligated in any of these Korbanos, and if he doesn't bring it by a certain time, he's going to be over Bal Tiachar. Or Stakos, he said, I'm going to donate a certain amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. Umaisros, or he has to give. Now, the simple understanding of this would be any of the Maisros. This would include Maiser Rishon, or Maiser Sheni, or Maiser Oni. If he delayed in bringing those to the appropriate person, the Maiser Rishon to the Levi, Maiser Sheni to the city of Yerushalayim to eat it over there, or to redeem it and then eat with the funds, to eat in Yerushalayim Korbanos or things like that, or Maaser Ani, which you have to give to the Ani. So Maaser Rishon you give every year, except the Shemitah year, of course. Maaser Sheni you give in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, and Maaser Ani is in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. So if you delay in giving those to the appropriate person that you have to give it to, so you're also going to be over Bal Tiachar. Bechor, this is a behemoth tohora that a person has to go and bring to the Kohen. Now, the Mepharshim discuss over here is either you delayed in bringing it to the Kohen or that you delayed in the Kohen in bringing it as a carbon. The next one is Maiser. This Maiser here refers to Maiser Behema. We discussed this a little bit in the Mishnah. When a person has 10 animals born in the same calendar year, we had a whole discussion. That's one of the Arba Rosh Hashanim. Do we say the calendar year for Maiser Behema is from Elul, the first opinion, or was it from Tishrei? In any event, so if you delay in bringing the Maiser Behema animal that you're supposed to bring, or Pesach, or delay in bringing your Korban Pesach. Now, this is very problematic because Korban Pesach is not something that the three regalim go by. The Korban Pesach is something that only is able to be brought on Yudalit in the afternoon of Nisan, and it is eaten on Tezvav at night. So how could this be the three regalim? Tomorrow we'll discuss this. There's a good teretz we'll learn in tomorrow's Shia. We turn to Dalit Omid Beis. Or if a person delays in bringing the leket. The leket is the type of wheat or other grains that when you gather them and they fall on the floor, you're not allowed to go pick them up. They belong to the Oni. Shichacha is you forgot to go and harvest a certain area. So that goes to the Oni. Peah is 1/60th of the field the rabbi set up that you leave for the Oni. In all of these situations, if you didn't do this and you didn't give it to the appropriate Oni, Beis HaMikdash, treasury, etc., even Sha'aru Aleim Shlosha Regalim, as soon as three Regalim have gone by, over Bal Tiachar. Now, this is the first opinion here. This is equal to the first opinion that we had in the previous brisa, that it doesn't make a difference what the order is of the three regalim. As soon as three regalim pass, depending on when you make the neder, as soon as you pass three regalim, you're over Bal Tiachar. That was opinion number one. Now we bring the same opinion number two that we had previously, Rabbi Shimon, which is again Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Omer, Shlosha Regolim Kisidran. You have to have the three regolim in the proper order of three over Balti Acher, with Pesach, Chag HaMatzos coming first. So again, it could be three, four, or five regolim, depending on when you made this neder. Now we introduce the three new opinions. The first of these three new opinions, which is the third opinion overall, is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kivin Shavar Alein, Regel Achot. He says one regel is enough to be over Balti Acher, over Balti Acher. The second of the three new opinions, which is the fourth overall, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What does he say? Omer, he says, Kivin Sha'avru Aleim Shnei Regalim. It's two of the Regalim. Any two of the Regalim, will again explain all of these Shitos momentarily in the Gemara, you're over Balti Acher. As soon as two Regalim go by, you're over Balti Acher. Again, any two Regalim. And finally, the last opinion, the fifth overall, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Omer, he says, Kivin Sha'avru Aleim Chag HaSukos. It's just Sukkos. It's not any Regel is specifically Sukkos. When you're over Sukkos, that's when you're over Aleim Bebal Ti'achar. Now we're going to have to understand all five of these Shitos, which the Gemara is now going to explain. My time of the Tanakhama, what's the reason for Tanakhama that says there's any three Regalim in any order? When you pass three Regalim, doesn't make a difference what the order is, you're over Bal Ti'achar. So the explanation is as follows. Michte, let's take a look at this. Minayu Solik. The Psukim had just discussed the three Regalim. The Psukim had said, Shalosh Pomim Bashana, Yere calls the Churcha, Spina Shevel Kecha, but Makoma Shevichar. And it says, Bechag Matzos, Bechag Shavos, Bechag Sukkos. And then subsequently, it says, Lomoli Lemahader, why do we have to go and again reiterate Umichtav and write Bechag Matzos, Bechag Shavos, Bechag Sukkos? And the Pasuk that I just said, it said, Shalosh Pomim Bashana, it tells us three times. We know what the three times are. Why does it then say, again, B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaShavuos, B'chag HaSukkos. So this is to teach us Shva Mino L'Bal Ti'achar. The purpose of repeating that or reiterating that is for the din of Bal Ti'achar. And here it doesn't make a difference, according to the Tanakhama, what the order is. But Rabbi Shimon, which is the second sheet, he says it does make a difference. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Tzarech Lomar B'chag HaSukkos. We were talking about Sukkos Shabbos Dibur HaKosov. So therefore, by reiterating Chag HaSukkos, it was unnecessary. And therefore, Loma Ne'amar, Lomar Shizdeh Achon. It was specifically stated over here to tell us that that must be the last of the three regalim to be over Balti Acher. It can't be in any order. It has to specifically be Pesach, Shavuos, and the last of the three has to be Sukkos. So that's how Rabbi Shimon darshins this. No, the Gemara says, what about the next Shita? Rav Meir, my timer. Rav Meir's Shita, we said, was one regal, any regal, one regal, and you're over about the Acher. So where's that based upon? The Siv, he says, because the Pasuk says, Uvaso Shoma Vavesim Shoma. The Pasuk says that you will go, L'shichno Sidrishu Uvaso Shoma. And then right after that, it says, Vavesim Shoma Lusechem Vizim Chaycham. So why did it have to repeat that? So therefore, when it says, Vavesim Shoma, right after Uvasim Shoma, that goes to tell you that it's any one of the three Shlosh Regalim, and you're over Balti Acher. Nu, what does everybody else do with Rav Meir's Drasha? Sounds like it's a good Drasha, Rabbanan. How do they learn this out? No, they learn this out that, yes, he's correct, but that's not to be over Balti Acher, that's to do the mitzvah. How li asay? There is a mitzvah asay to go and fulfill your vow. And therefore, that's what that pasuk Uvasim Shoma Vavesim Shoma comes to teach us. No, how does Rabbi Meir respond to that? Rabbi Meir, he says, no. Given the Amalei Rachmona Isi, since the Torah said, go and bring it, and this guy did not bring it below Isi, so the Mimela Kom Le Bival Tiach. He says, no, that's what it means. That's over Bival Tiach. Okay, that's the third Shita. Now we go to the fourth Shita. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, my timer, what was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's reasoning for saying that it's two of the Regalim, any two of the Regalim, and you're over Bival Tiach? He says, Dirse, because the Pasuk says, Eile Tasu Lashem B'muadechem. Now, you should do this, bring the korbanos, bring whatever your vow was, b'moadeichem, which is plural, miut moadim ishnayim, which means two of the moadim, two of the regalim, any two. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says is his reason for that we over Bal Tosef if you don't bring it within moadeichem, two moadim, any two of the three moadim. No, what does everybody else do with that? Rabbanan, how would they explain that? They say, no, ha'u l'ched Rabbi Yonah. That is coming to teach us the din of Rabbi Yonah. What was Rabbi Yonah's din? Rabbi Yonah. Hukshu kol ha'muadim kulam zeh lezeh, shekulam achaprin al tumas mikdash v'kodoshav. Now, the muadim doesn't only include the regalim. This also includes Rosh Chodesh. And there's a certain kapara that the seir of Rosh Chodesh, or the seirim that are brought on the yomim Tovim on the Regalim come to bring an atonement for Klal Yisrael, for anybody that was Matami, Tumas Mikdash or Kodoshav. Either they entered into the base of Mikdash being Tomei, or inadvertently they ate a carbon while they were Tomei. So this Tumas, it's called Tumas Mikdash V'Kodoshav, so you get an atonement for this from the Seirim that are brought on the Moadim. So that's what it comes to teach us, but nothing to do with this din of Balti Acher. Finally, the last shita, the fifth shita, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, my time up. What does Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say is the reason that you can have only Sukkis, that you're over Balti Acher just when Sukkis passes. So he says, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Brisa tells us that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds Lo Yomar Chagat Sukkos. Again, like we said before, don't write Chakasukos. In fact, that was his father's shita. Rabbi Shimon's shita was that it wasn't necessary to write Chakasukos, and therefore his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, said that that's how we know that you have to have them in order, with the last one being Sukkos. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, his son, darshened it differently. He said this wording of Lo Yomar Chakasukos, it wasn't necessary Chakasukos, but Shabo Dibra Akosa, because that was the pasuk was talking about. So therefore, why did it say Chag HaSukkos? Lomar Shezeh Gorem, to teach us that it's Sukkos and Sukkos alone. Not that Sukkos has to be the third of the three, but that Sukkos alone is going to make you over Balti Acher. Obviously, his father and some of the others didn't learn it that way. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Meir says any one of them, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says any two of them. So what do they do with the pasuk? Hi, b'chaga matzos, b'chaga shavos, b'chaga sukkos, my darshubay. What do they do with that drasha? It's not necessary to repeat all three of them, because they don't hold it to all three of them. They hold it either one, based upon Rebbe's drasha, or two, based upon Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's drasha, b'vadechan. Shmuel says, no, they need it, miboy luhu, they need this pasuk to reiterate, chaga matzos, b'chaga shavos, b'chaga sukkos, for the drasha of miboy luhu, ki the Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshai needs it for this drasha of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshai. What was that? The Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Yoshai. Minayin liat seres sheish lo tashlumin kol shiva. How do we know that at seres has yimei tashlumin? Everybody's familiar with this thing in our modern practice of not saying tachnun, according to many, in the 6-day period after Shavuos. This is called the yimei tashlumin. By Pesach and by Sukkot, there's a huge Chol HaMoed. And if you weren't able to bring your Korban Chagiga on the first day, so then you can go bring it during the Chol HaMoed. Shavuos doesn't have a Chol HaMoed. Nevertheless, there is a Tashlumin period of time. So in Chutz Laaretz, we have 2 days of Shavuos, so it's 6 days afterwards. So Shavuos is a 6th and 7th day of Sivan. So up until Yud Beis, including Yud Beis, you don't say Tachlun, and that's Keneged the Yemei Tashlumin. There's only 1 day, so it's 7 days of Tashlumin from the 6th. And then you have 6 additional days beyond that, making up the total of 7 days that you can bring your Korban Chagiga. Now, how do we know that you have this Tashlumin period of time for Shavuos? Talmud Lomer, to compare them all, make Shchak HaShavuos l'Chag HaMatzos, to compare Shavuos to Pesach. That just like Pesach, Machak HaMatzos, Yeshlo Tashlum Kol Shiva, Av Chag HaShavuos, Yeshlo Tashlum Kol Shiva. There's a 7-day period of time that you can bring your Korban Chagiga on Pesach, so too there's a 7-day period of time that you can bring your Korban Chagiga for Shavuos. Now, Shavuos is only 1 day, but you still have the additional 6 days beyond that, up until Yud Beis, that you can go and bring your Korban Chagiga. So this leads to the obvious question, but it also says in the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkos. So why don't we compare Shavuos, not to Pesach, but to Sukkos, V'leikas l'Chag HaSukkos, which is 8 days, because you have Shmini Atzeres. So Malhal Shmona, Avkan Shmona. So instead of saying that there's only a 6 additional days of Tashlumin beyond the first day of Shavuos, a total of 7 days, why don't we say that there's 7 additional days of Tashlumin besides the actual day of Shavuos, so there should be a total of 8. Just like by Sukkos there's 8 days, so too, by Shavuos there should be a total of 8 days of Tashlumin. Shmuel says no, because Shmini Atzeres, Shmini Regel b'fnei Atzmahu. We had this drasha in Beitza, we had this drasha in Sukkah, and now we have it again in Rosh Hashanah, the famous drasha Pozer Koshev. For 6 things, we'll see in a moment what those 6 things are, the Pozer Koshev mnemonic, Shmini Atzeres is considered a separate Regel b'fnei Atzmahu. But Shmuel says, but that has nothing to do with Tashlumim. Shmuel says, no, when do we say that Pozer Koshev is a separate regal? It's only for those things. It's only the Indian Pozer Koshev, the famous mnemonic Pozer Koshev, which Rashi and Tosfos always have a slightly different opinions as to what they are. The mnemonic is Pozer is the pious, that's the lottery. That on Sukkos, you had the 70 Purim that had to be brought on behalf of all the Umos HaOlam, and each day there was a diminishing number. We started off with 13, then we went to 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, and therefore there was a total of 70 parim that were brought, and divided 70 into the 24 mishmaros, two of the mishmaros will only be able to bring two of the parim, and the other 22 mishmaros will be able to bring three. 3 times 22 is 66, and then you have the two mishmaros that only bring two. That adds up to another 4, a total of 70 parim. So they have to do a lottery as to which of the mishmaros would not get to bring three of the parim. So that's the lottery. Next one is Zman, which is Shechiyanu. So it's a regel b'fnei atzmo in regards to, we say, a separate Shechiyanu on Shmini Atzeres. The Reish is regel. It's considered a separate regel. We don't call it Sukkos, Rashi says. We say, B'yom Shmini Chagwa Atzeres is it, or whatever gears you have, the three different gears when we say davening. There are different gears as to how you say it, but you certainly don't say Chag HaSukkos. You say, Yom Shmini Chagwa Atzeres is it, or something like that. So that's the way Rashi understands this. In Sukkah, Rashi, however, said that this is a reference to that it's a regel of an atzmo, and that you don't sit in the Sukkah. Okay, that's the first three pozer. Then the Kuf, that stands for carbon. It's a carbon b'fnei atzmo. We don't keep on going down in the parim. We don't say you bring six parim. That would be the next in the progression of the parim. But you just bring one par on Shmini Atzeres, and therefore, that is what the carbon is about. The next one is the shin. Shin stands for shir, that there's a separate shir that we sing on Shmini Atzeres, which is different than the shir that was sung during Sukkos. Rashi elsewhere says he doesn't know what the shir this is, and many suggest that it is Lam Natseach al Hashminis. Okay, that's the shir. And finally, the beis, Pazer Koshev, the beis, that's a bracha, that there would be a separate bracha, Rashi says, Mevarchen Hayuetz HaMelech, they would go and bless the king. Now this was an allusion to when the first Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech, it was during the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So B'yom HaShmini, Sholach HaSom V'Yivarchu HaMelech. So to commemorate that, so that's the separate bracha the Shmini Atzeres had versus Sukkos. So this mnemonic of Pozer Koshev has nothing to do with Tashlomim. So Gemara says, Eimah Damrinim Shmini Regel V'Ni Atzmo, it's only Linyan Pozer Koshev. Aval Linyan Tashlomim. But in regards to the Tashlomim, everybody says that it's all not separate, it's all a tashlumim for the first day. If you didn't bring your korban chagig on the first day of Sukkos, chagig is called a regel, the yom tov achron shochag, and you even have an additional day of bringing it even on Shmini Atzeres. So Shmini Atzeres is not considered a separate day by itself. So again, we restore our question. You can't say Shmini Atzeres is a separate regel. In regards to Tashlumim, it's not a separate regel. And therefore, why do we compare Shavuos to Pesach? And why do instead we compare Shavuos to Sukkos? Shmuel says, because of the famous principle, Tafasta Mu'a lo Tafasta, Tafasta Mu'a Tafasta. There's a famous klal that we have throughout Shas, that if a person tries to take too much, so if you grab too much, Tafasta Meruba, so then you're going to be unsuccessful. Lo Tafasta, you won't have grabbed anything. However, Tafasta Mu'a, if you just grab a little bit, then you'll be successful to fasta. In this context, we're specifically saying here, you had a choice. You could have compared Shavuos to Pesach, which would be 7 days, or you could have compared Shavuos to Sukkos, which would be 8 days. Now, if it's really 8 days, it certainly is also 7 days. But if it's 7 days, it's not 8 days. So therefore, if you grab the larger amount, 8 days, you're not going to have grabbed because maybe it's not right. But if you grab the smaller amount, 7, so it's vaday 7 days, because even if it was Sukkos, it's certainly vaday 7 days. So therefore, by taking 7 and comparing Shavuot to Pesach, so the first day of Shavuot plus the 6 additional days, so then you're definitely going to be correct. If you compared it to Sukkos, 50% chance you'd be right, 50% chance you'd be wrong. So therefore, we say, tafasta maruba lo tafasta. But if you go for Pesach, compare Shavuot to Pesach, you're going to be fine. Great. So the Gemara says, we understand why we have Shavuos in the Pasuk, and we're making shit to Pesach. We understand why we have Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaShavuos in the Pasuk. So, So what was the purpose of writing in the Pasuk Chag HaSukkos? If it's not there for a Hekish, so why do you need it? So the Gemara says, no, it's there for a different Hekish. Lakshuye L'Chag HaMatzos. We want to compare Sukkos to Pesach. That is a good, valid Hekish, as we now turn to Hayom and Aleph to explain. And the Chiddush is, Ma Chag HaMatzos Ton Lina, just like by Chag HaMatzos, you have to stay overnight. As Rashi says, Leil Cholo Shomoid, that you have to stay over when you bring your Korban Pesach at least one night in Yerushalayim. So too, Af Chag HaSukkos Ton Lina. So too, by Chag HaSukkos, you must stay over one night. No, and how do we know by Pesach that that's true? V'osmi Nola, because it says, the Pasuk says, Dechsev, Ufonisa V'aboker, V'alatol Yorolecha. Only after you've stayed overnight in the morning, then are you allowed to go back to Ohalecha, to your houses. Now, this is actually a lot more complex than we just read it simply on the surface, and there are many different opinions over here why exactly do we even need this drush at all? Because after any korban, you're obligated to go and stay in Yerushalayim till the day after that korban was brought. So Tosfos is mechadesh here that this applies whether you brought a korban or not. There's a separate obligation to go and stay overnight on this first day of Pesach and on this first day of Sukkot. In the top Tosfos, he also mentions Lo Shiyolim Yerushalayim Kol Zayin Yemei Pesach Uliachei Yemei Pesach Yashkim Yelich Lo. Doesn't mean that you have to stay there for all of Pesach and then go home after Pesach, because Lina is normally only one night, and it wouldn't be all of the night. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree and say, no, that the Chiddush over here is that it's for the entire Yontif, and the Wamekish Pesach, the Sukkot, you have to stay for the entire Yontif. In any event, there's a good break point, and we'll conclude today's shir.